This morning we are nearing the end of our series of messages based on Star Wars. Next week will actually be the last message in the series. Undoubtedly, like all series, this one has elicited a wide variety of responses. I know some people have been enjoying it. As a matter of fact, this past week we got some indication that thanks to Russ and the messages streaming on the internet, someone up in Canada who's a Star Wars fan has been listening to the series and appreciating it. But here in our congregation, I have discovered that not everyone is an avid Star Wars fan. Imagine that. But this morning there is a little reward for everyone who has sat through this series this month. Following worship at all of the doors, there will be people distributing little packages of Star Wars fruit snacks. And so pick up your little treat as you leave this morning. This is actually something that Stacy and I saw back in December, and we decided that it might be a little nice little treat to go along with the series. And you can thank John for the fact that you're getting them this morning. Next week, of course, is Scout Sunday. And so I said to John, well, we could save it and give it out next week. There would probably just be enough for all the scouts. John said, well, no, little kids get treats all the time. Let's give them to the older people this week. So you can thank John. But our scripture lesson, it kind of provides the basis for our reflections this morning that are connected with Star Wars. Our scripture lesson is from John chapter 10. We have been drawing parallels between the message of Star Wars and the message of John's gospel. And so this morning we turn to John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And then we drop down to verse 27, where Jesus continues to say, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. And as we prepare to hear God's word for our lives this morning, I again invite you to bow with me in prayer. Now, O Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds by power of your Holy Spirit, that through the scriptures read and the word proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. We pray these things in the name of the one who is indeed the good shepherd, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Was Yoda right in what he said about people who turn to the dark side? That, again, I think is one of the key questions that hangs over the Star Wars saga. It's a question that emerges from what is perhaps one of the most poignant scenes in the entire epic, the scene where Yoda is dying. He has been the oldest and the wisest of the Jedi Masters, the last surviving member of the old Jedi Order. But now, as he is about to depart this life, he is imparting some final words of wisdom and warning to Luke Skywalker, the young apprentice who he has been training to be a Jedi. One of the last things that Yoda says, at this point he's struggling to get the words out, it's one of the last things he says is, "Beware of the dark side. Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Consume you it will, as it did Obi-Wan's apprentice." Now, Yoda, of course, has his own idiosyncratic way of speaking. So if you need an English translation for all of that, what he's basically saying is, once you start down the path to the dark side, there's no turning back. You've sealed your fate. You'll end up like Obi-Wan's apprentice. And that apprentice that he's referring to is, of course, Luke's father, Anakin Skywalker, who started down the path to the dark side and wound up turning into the evil figure of Darth Vader. Now, of course, it's possible that Yoda is engaging in a little bit of hyperbole. You know, all of us have said to our kids things like, you know, don't run out into the street, you'll get hit by a car. Don't smoke cigarettes, you'll wind up getting lung cancer. Now, of course, those things don't always happen, but it's a fair warning. And Yoda's warning also fits the pattern of our experience, doesn't it? I mean, we all have seen examples of how yielding to the dark side, yielding to some dark impulse, can put us on to a course that is hard to get off of. Every time you give in to some temptation, some impulse, it becomes easier the next time, doesn't it? And so you just continue on that course. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis talks about the fact that every time, he says, you make a choice, you're turning that central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And so he says that every moment we are slowly turning ourselves either into creatures of heaven or creatures of hell. It just happens slowly and progressively. And so that question, the question of whether Yoda is right about people who have turned to the dark side, it's not just some abstract theoretical issue. If Yoda is right and there's no hope for people who have started down the path to the dark side, then really the only way to deal with evil is to somehow wipe it out. And for the most part, that actually seems to be the strategy in Star Wars. You know, some critics of Star Wars have said that it's a series that is just thoroughly steeped in the classic American myth of redemptive violence. The idea that salvation comes from the barrel of a gun, or in the case of Star Wars, from the slashing of a lightsaber. I mean, that is the basic idea in all the Hollywood westerns and in so many other forms of entertainment and literature. It's the idea that violence is the ultimate solution to evil. And I mean, that's kind of our standard approach. If you've got really, really bad people, lock them up and throw the key away. Strap them in the electric chair. I'll pull a switch myself. And lest you think I'm making fun of people who say things like that, I mean, if that happens to be your mindset, let me assure you that is probably my attitude at least 95% of the time. And so that is just a standard approach. But of course, if you stop and think about it, it's not really just bad people who have started down the path to the dark side. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us have flirted with the dark side from time to time, haven't we? I mean, there's a little bit of Darth Vader in all of us. And so Darth Vader's fate has some relevance for us. If Star Wars has led us to believe that violence is the ultimate way of dealing with evil, then we would expect Darth Vader to finally meet some violent end. And in keeping with the standard pattern of movie villains, we might be expecting him to suffer some horrible, gruesome fate. I mean, isn't that usually what happens to the bad guy, the really bad guy at the end of a movie, at the end of a work of literature? Well, in a sense, that is what happens to Darth Vader. But in this utterly astounding, amazing turn of events, at the very end, Darth Vader himself returns from the dark side. The movie where this happens is called The Return of the Jedi. And we find out that it's not just about how the Jedi Order as a whole is restored. It is also about the return of Anakin Skywalker. We saw last week that there's kind of a fall narrative in Star Wars, where Anakin starts out as this sweet, innocent young boy. He grows up to be a Jedi Knight, but then he's seduced by the dark side and he turns into Darth Vader. And he, of course, is the main villain for much of the classic trilogy. But at the very end, he experiences a sort of redemption. And actually, after he dies, he reappears one final time as a luminous being alongside Yoda and Obi-Wan, his Jedi mentors. And so it's sort of like he has gone to the Jedi heaven. And so the epic, it turns out to be this monumental story of fall and redemption. And there's actually two key elements I'd like to comment on this morning. Two key elements in this story of how Darth Vader is redeemed. First of all, there's a whole series of verbal exchanges where Darth Vader is reminded of his true identity. It all comes in this kind of climactic scene at the end of Return of the Jedi. His son, Luke Skywalker, has been apprehended and is brought before him, and Luke immediately addresses Darth Vader as father. Vader says, I don't think I'll be able to imitate his voice very well, but Vader says, so you have accepted the truth. In other words, the truth that I'm your father. And Luke replies, I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father. Vader angrily retorts, that name no longer has any meaning for me. But Luke says, and here's the key line, it is the name of your true self. You have only forgotten. I know there is good in you. Well, shortly after that, the evil emperor arrives on the scene, and he says to Luke, "Welcome, young Skywalker. I have been expecting you." Now, it's subtle, but do you once again see the implication? If Luke is young Skywalker, it's a reminder of the fact that Darth Vader is a Skywalker too. And then the Emperor begins the process of trying to lure Luke over to the dark side, and over again, Luke refuses to give in until finally he makes the climactic statement, "Never, I'll never turn to the dark side. You have failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi just like my father before me." And it's right after that Darth Vader experiences the breakthrough. Why? Well, because something had stirred within him, and he at last remembered who he was. He remembered his true identity. And friends, stop and think about it. That's the message of the gospel, isn't it? I mean, the Christian life is all about remembering. It's about remembering who you are, remembering your baptism, remembering the one whose name you bear. Sin is a distortion of our true nature. It's not who you really are. And sometimes I think we need a Luke Skywalker to come along and remind us of our true identity in moments of weakness, in moments of temptation, in moments when we are overwhelmed by the pressures of life. We need to be reminded of our true identity, our identity in Christ. And just like deep down inside, Darth Vader carried that memory that he was a Jedi, that he was a Skywalker, even when he had gone as far over to the dark side as anyone possibly could. Everyone who is a child of God carries that awareness deep down inside of themselves. In our scripture lesson for this morning, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and no one can ever pluck them away." That is the promise. That is the promise that has given hope and assurance to many a Christian parent whose child is on the wrong course in life. It's the verse that assures you and me that we can never, ever ultimately fall away. We belong to Him. We carry that remembrance deep down inside of ourselves. We hear His voice. That is the verse, in fact, that has provided the basis for an expression that particularly those of us who are Calvinists often use. We say, "Once saved, always saved." Well, it turns out that George Lucas is something of a Calvinist. You know, I quoted in the newsletter, he once described himself as a Buddhist Methodist. I think he might actually be a Buddhist Calvinist. You know, just like we say, "Once saved, always saved," he would say, "Once a Jedi, always a Jedi." You know, it's just always something that you carry deep down inside of you. And so that was the first factor that led to Darth Vader's redemption. But there's a second factor that ultimately triggered Darth Vader's return from the dark side. And it was the element of sacrifice. Now, it's a complicated scene, and it all plays out after the scene that I have been describing. But basically, eventually, there is a lightsaber battle between father and son, Luke and Vader. And in the course of that battle, Vader is left incapacitated. The Emperor is urging Luke to go all the way and kill his father. That obviously would be an act of aggression, an act of hatred. It would seal his fate going over to the dark side. In fact, ultimately, the Emperor tells Luke, go ahead and kill me if you want, knowing that, again, if he does that, it would represent his embrace of the dark side, the selling of his soul. But instead, in that climactic moment, Luke actually throws away his lightsaber, refuses to act with aggression or hatred. And when the Emperor realizes that there's no way of bringing Luke over to his side, he unleashes on him this whole barrage of deadly electrical currents. The onslaught continues with wave after wave, producing a state of agony. It would have killed Luke if it hadn't ended right when it did. By throwing away his lightsaber, Luke was essentially offering himself up as a willing sacrifice, giving his life in place of the life of his father. He had experienced the same temptation that his father had, only he had resisted them. And now he was prepared to die, essentially in the place of his father. For a few moments, the camera keeps cutting back and forth between the scene of agony involving Luke and Darth Vader standing by the Emperor's side. And finally, at the last possible moment, Vader intervenes, saves his son, kills the Emperor, and is himself mortally wounded in the process. But in giving his life, he basically saves his soul. Salvation comes through sacrifice. Now stop and think about it. Luke's willingness to die, to absorb evil rather than to inflict it. I mean, isn't that a powerful picture of what the cross is all about? I mean, it's an image of the Jesus that we meet, I think, in a very unique way in John's gospel. Now, all of the gospels, of course, tell the story of Jesus being crucified. But it is in John's gospel that we have this distinctive emphasis that we see in this morning's scripture lesson, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. In other words, Jesus threw away the lightsaber and went willingly to the cross, willingly laid down his life for the sheep. But there's one aspect of the cross that can't be depicted within the framework of the Star Wars universe. As a matter of fact, really no movie can resolve evil in a totally satisfactory way. You know, in the traditional scenario, where the villain meets some horrible fate, there's obviously no hint of redemption, but our sense of justice is vindicated. You know, we feel like the bad guy got what was coming to him. He got what he deserved. And that gives us a sense of satisfaction. It satisfies our sense of justice, even though there's no redemption in that scenario. Now, on the other hand, in the Star Wars scenario, there's redemption, but there's no justice for all of the evil that Darth Vader has done. There's no justice for the victims of Darth Vader's evil. I mean, this guy had helped to build Death Stars that blew up planets. I mean, how do you atone for something like that? Joshua Hayes, I think, puts it well. He writes, "For one such as Darth Vader, who has done so much wrong, what sacrifice could ever prove enough? Simple goodness cannot restore the victims of injustice, especially those who have lost their very lives within the Star Wars galaxy. It is impossible to imagine a sacrifice that could atone for Vader's sin. No one," he says, "has the righteous purity to atone for Vader's sin. Not Luke, not Leia, not even Yoda." Friends, it's only in the cross that we find a way for the demands of justice, God's perfect justice, to be fully met, but also a way for the guilty to experience redemption. When Jesus says that he gives his life for the sheep, for others, that little preposition, for, it conveys the sense, especially in the original Greek, it conveys the sense that he died in our place. He died in our stead. He took the penalty that we deserved, and we in turn can be freed, redeemed. Thankfully for us, Yoda was ultimately wrong. There is hope for those who have gone over to the dark side. There is hope for you, hope for me, hope even for Darth Vader. And that hope is found only in Jesus and in the message of the cross. Amen.